Well, we're going to do the Christmas story today, and let's go ahead to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, and we're going to begin there today. Now, I'd like to give you a little introduction before we begin reading. You know, there's many times that we'll wish what our Christmas will be like before Christmas happens. And there's many things that we could have in our heart that would be nice for it to happen for us at Christmas. Like, you know, just that picture of chestnuts roasting on the open fire and Jack Frost biting at my nose. And my toes are warm, though, because there's a fire in the fireplace. And just a picture that you might picture in your mind about just the perfect Christmas. And you can know that as things come to pass, and even in our minds we're wishing for certain spiritual things to happen that should happen at Christmas to me, my family, my friends, and for those that I will be with and so forth. All of these things are different in everyone's mind, and there's all kinds of wishes going on. But so often these things just don't happen. You know, it's just one of those things where Christmas turns out like Christmas will turn out. And there's sometimes folks that are disappointed and frustrated and mad at somebody, or the dinner was spoiled because, and you fill in the blank. I remember one time we went to the Desert House to have, I think it was Thanksgiving, not Christmas, but we thought, let's barbecue the turkey. And wouldn't it be neat to barbecue it with kind of a smoky flavor with hickory chips, you know? And anyway, to make a long story short, the turkey did not cook on the top, just the bottom. And the hickory chips made it taste so terrible, you can't even believe it. So, you know, thank God somebody brought a ham. Thank you, Lord, we were delivered. So we will never do the barbecue again, or the hickory chips. And I counsel you to not do the same. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. And so we want to talk today about some common things that happen at Christmas time that sometimes want to put a damper in your life. But we want to give you solutions about this, and we want to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. So, first thing I want to say today, some people have relationship problems which seem to get worse and hurt more at Christmas time. These things happen in our society and among people, and maybe this will happen to you in the future, maybe it's happened to you in the past, maybe this Christmas you're just having a tangle with someone. You're not looking forward to that dinner with Aunt Hilda. Or you just don't want to go to Minnesota. Please, God, don't make me go to Minnesota with all the snow. These kinds of things. And I find myself just wishing that my relationships could be like those of the Holy Family at the first Christmas. Let's begin reading then in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now before we read on the second part of verse 1, we want to talk about the espousal period. The espousal period in Jewish tradition was similar to our engagement, because the couple did not consummate the marriage for 1 year. They were in an engagement time, the espousal period, for 1 year. But different than our engagement tradition, because when you entered into the espousal period, you were legally married. So that in order to not go into the marriage, once you enter into the espousal period, you'd have to go through a divorce. You would actually have to go through a divorce in order to get out of it after that. But again, there's no physically coming together during that time. It was during this time, the espousal period, before they came together, she, that is Mary, was found with child of the Holy Ghost. She was found to be pregnant. At that time, during the espousal period, she was still a virgin. Now, Joseph, what a hard time with his relationship with this lovely girl that he fell deeply in love with, and some believe that she was as young as 16, and just the godly woman she was, as we know from other scriptures, dear Mary, but here she's pregnant. And Joseph doesn't know what happened. He's just probably bummed to the max that Mary is pregnant. Now, we know that if she told him the story about the Holy Spirit overshadowing her and an angel coming to tell her she would be pregnant without making love, he didn't believe it. Because let's read the next verse. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to divorce her privately. Now, Joseph was a just man, as the Bible says here. He did not want to make a public spectacle of Mary. In fact, there was a possibility that she might be stoned to death and killed. Because in the Jewish law, if a woman after she's married would commit adultery, the penalty for that is death. That's why the woman taken in adultery, they were planning on throwing stones at her. And so Joseph wanted to just be real private about this. He wanted to keep it quiet, but he also wanted to divorce her because apparently he didn't believe the story. And I ask you, men, if you were engaged to a girl and she's found pregnant and you didn't make love to her, and she came to you and said, well, an angel appeared to me. I mean, it's kind of like the dog ate the homework excuse, you know? I mean, that's what it sounds like. And so very in the natural state, you wouldn't believe that. And neither did Joseph. And so what do we have here right away in the Christmas story? A huge breakdown in the relationship. We've got Joseph hurt to the core, unbelievably just bummed, because his dear girl that he thought was so pure and beautiful, what she was, is pregnant with someone else's baby. Now Mary, on the other hand, she goes probably and tells Joseph the story, and apparently here from verse 19, Joseph did not believe her. And so she's got to be hurt that her husband-to-be, the love of her life that she wants to commit herself to, doesn't believe her, isn't trusting what she has to say about what happened. And so what we have here is their first marital spat, and things were not hunky-dory in their relationship in and around the first Christmas. And so it's something that might affect our lives in thinking about some of the relationships that we need to deal with also, that the parents of Jesus had to deal with these kinds of things first, and they were not immune to relationship problems. But the Lord worked it out, didn't he? And we're so glad and we're so blessed that the Lord did. Let's read on. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, verse 20, appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. That's why his name was Jesus. Jesus is the equivalent of Joshua in the Old Testament. And Joshua is Jehovah Shua, which means the Lord is salvation. So the Lord Jesus was coming to save his people from their sins. Yes, relationship problems, sins also. And so Joseph was told to call him Jesus. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, another name for Jesus, which being interpreted is God with us. For truly in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so Jesus is God with us. Then Joseph raised from sleep and did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. And you can imagine the joy in his step and the sorrow in his step for maybe not believing Mary. And so he went and he took her unto him as his wife. And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So in respect for the Holy Spirit, in respect for God implanting that holy child in Mary's womb, Joseph did not take his husband's right for coming together physically until after Jesus Christ was born. And it is really beautiful to see this and how Joseph now believes. And I can just imagine the makeup time when Joseph went to Mary and said, "Mary, I am so sorry. The Lord God appeared to me through his angel in a dream and told me that all you said was true. Please forgive me." And Mary, the godly woman that she is, probably just went ahead and said, "Oh, dear Joseph, my sweetie pie." Now, we don't know this, do we? But I'm just making it up as I go. Speculation. "I forgive you." And they were happily, happily married. But it didn't stop there. The rumor mill began talking about relationships and hurtful things that can happen. And the rumor mill went all the days of Jesus Christ's life. So that when he was in his 30s, and before he went to the cross, as the religious rulers of the time, the rumor even made it to church. Sometimes they do make it to church, don't they? And the Pharisees told him, "Our father is Abraham. We are not born of fornication," implying that Jesus was. And so the rumor went that far. And Jesus had to live with that, this relationship problem, even with the synagogue, even with the church. And Mary and Joseph had to live with it also. If you ever get a chance to see the movie The Nativity, really recommend that highly. It came out last Christmas, and you can get it in a DVD now. I always get all the DVDs mixed up, but I think it's DVD where they show movies, right? Okay. So you can buy the DVD of The Nativity. And in The Nativity, one of my favorite lines that was just so real and really blessed me is that it shows when Mary was found pregnant that her teacher and some of the girls, some of the people at Nazareth just began to judge her and to look down on her and to just think right on her story, but didn't believe her and started the rumor mill. Now, when Joseph was leading Mary on the donkey, which could be true or not true because the Bible doesn't talk about a donkey, but that's tradition. Tradition! Anyway, so Joseph is taking Mary out of Nazareth to go to Bethlehem, and the one teacher lady that's judging Mary is standing in her doorway just scowling at Mary as she goes by with Joseph. And people are looking down on her, you know. Yeah, what happened, really, kind of look, you know. And it was so neat the way Joseph handled it. He just kind of smiled at Mary and said, "Well, they're really going to miss us here, aren't they?" And I thought it was such a great line. And he just had that right attitude, like, "Oh, well, people are going to talk, but we know the truth, and we just need to walk on." But we see that relationship problem, don't we? Now, let's go on to the next thing. Some at Christmas will face extreme hardship. That happens. And we might wish that things could be easier, especially at Christmas. We might even say that to the Lord. "Lord, it's Christmas time. Why do things have to be so hard? Why is my car on fire on the freeway?" That kind of thing, you know. And we might say, "Ah, to kick back in that Christmas glow, like the parents of Jesus at the first Christmas. Why can't it be easier? Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 says this. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, where Nazareth is 12 miles from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So she was big. She wasn't just showing, she was big. And scholars believe that this even could have been her ninth month, at least in the last trimester of her pregnancy. Now the distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem was 80 miles. And she would have been, yes, on a donkey or in a cart. And if you can picture a wooden cart with great big wheels with no shock absorbers, not even one. And the roads, dirt with rocks. If you ever get a chance to go to Israel, you'll see that the whole place is rocks. They build everything out of rocks because rocks are really available all over Israel. Now the traveling they did was from the hills of Nazareth down through a valley, which is at least flat, because it's the Valley of Armageddon. And you go past Megiddo, the Valley of Jezreel, you go all the way down. But the last part of the trip is hugely hard, because you come to the hills of Bethlehem. And if you, again, ever stand and look at the overlook of Bethlehem from Jerusalem, it's nothing but giant moguls. Woo! Woo! Just like that. And so here's Mary traveling, 9 months pregnant. And hopefully she wasn't on a camel. You ever get on a camel? Sherry and I got on a camel. My back hurt for 3 weeks. After that trip. Or she was on a donkey. I also paid $55 to ride a donkey to Half Dome in Yosemite. I should have walked. And I kept saying that over and over again because my knees felt like somebody ran out from behind the pine trees with a ball-peen hammer and hammered on my knees. And then I jumped off a two-story building and landed on my knees. And after that trip, I thought, that's the worst $55 I ever spent. I should have walked. Or in a cart, bouncing along, probably for at least 8 to 10 days. It usually can get down, you know, in 3 days for people who are moving really quickly from Nazareth to Bethlehem. But I don't know that Joseph would have made Mary go more than 10 miles a day. 80 miles. So probably 8 or 10 days of traveling, and the last part was the worst. And you know how it is when you're getting towards the end of a trip. You ever take a trip up toward Bishop? And then Yosemite, maybe on to Tahoe, maybe go see Lake Shasta. And after driving for 8 or 10 hours on asphalt paved roads instead of rocks with shock absorbers. Well, some of you have good shocks, I guess. But you go and you go, and then it's time to stop and you're tired. Well, let's read the next few verses. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a feeding trough where slobbering cows would eat hay. You know, sometimes when we picture the manger scene, we picture it like this, and we might picture sheep that have just been blow-dried after their bath with little red bows around their necks looking sweetly at the Lord Jesus. You know, you might picture that in your mind. These were just dirty old sheep. And they were smelly. And it was a barn. And it was like that. You know, talking about blow dry, just share this real quick. Does anybody know Bart the Bear? He's passed away now. He weighed 1,500 pounds. And he starred in several movies, you know, that they do about bears. And anyway, we found out through reading about Bart, we kind of fell in love with Bart. He was our favorite movie star for a while. He's a big grizzly. And they would actually blow dry him and had to have a canopy so he wouldn't have to be in the rain before his, you know, his action shots, you know, getting his hair all puffed up and all that. And I thought that was kind of funny. But you know, it's kind of like we picture the animals at the manger. But Jesus there was born in a feeding trough where the cows probably slobbered when they ate and all the things that went on in there. And so after traveling all that distance, probably dreaming about a bed to be able to sleep in, Mary's faced with that extreme hardship at Christmas time. And so whatever might face us, we might consider what went on with Mary in this time of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go on to just one more thought. Some people feel really lonely at Christmas time, and there's no way we want to make fun of this or put this down or laugh at it in any way. Loneliness is really horrible. Removed from familiar people and surroundings, and just lonely. Just this last week, I got to talk to a brother that actually drives a truck for a living, and he anticipates having to spend another Christmas just in his truck alone. And that those kinds of things happen. And we might find ourselves wishing, whatever the lonely situation we might feel at Christmas time, ought to feel safe and secure with lots of friends, like the family of Jesus. They must have had lots of friends and lack of loneliness during the time of the birth of Jesus and after. But with that, let's turn to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. Now Jesus was born in the stable, in the manger, but later, by the grace of God, Joseph and Mary were able to find a house in Bethlehem. How nice to have a house and to actually have a private dwelling place, probably with a yard, a nice house. But we're going to see in a second here, they lost their house. They lost it. You know, there's a lot of folks this Christmas time that are suffering with that problem. And some, it's because of the different things that have happened with the housing market. A lot of folks have lost their homes. And also through the fires. A lot of folks have lost their homes. But they can know, and we can know, as different things are faced, that Jesus' family had to face that also. So when they were come into the house, talking about the wise men that came, because it took about 2 years for the wise men to arrive after seeing the star, they actually came not to the manger scene, but to a house that Mary and Joseph had moved into. And they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts. Gold that represents the deity of Christ, that work of gold. Frankincense, which represents the priesthood of the Lord. He's our high priest. And myrrh, which is a burial spice representing his death on the cross, which was to come. And then being warned of God, verse 12, in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to the French Riviera. No, says flee to Egypt, Egypt, isn't that where God delivered our people from bondage and slavery? Isn't that where Abraham, in his disbelief, had taken his wife in the early parts of their history? Isn't that where Isaac did the same? So you want to go back to Egypt, says Keith Green in his song. I dare say no. Probably didn't want to go to Egypt. They had to go and give up their home, their house, leave their country, their friends, their neighbors, their support group, the close people around them that love them and believe them. They had to leave and go on a long, lonely journey to Egypt of all places. And be thou there until I bring you word. For Herod, their king, the king that was presiding over their country, will seek the young child to destroy him. That can't be good. Can you imagine how Joseph felt now? Can you imagine how Mary felt now? What next? When it rains, it pours. If it's not one darn thing, it's another. I got to go to Egypt now. Why? Because they want to kill my son. Talk about lonely. That was lonely. And so as we look at the Holy Family, as we look at the first family, what do we see? We see a lot of trial, a lot of hard stuff going on around the Christmas story. It's always darkest before the dawn. Somebody said that. But we also see the greatest blessing that was ever brought to this world. And the first thing we want to see about this is identification with Jesus Christ, or said better, his identification with us. We go through these things. There are hard Christmases now and again for us. But the richest blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ came through much hardship for his family and for himself. And we are following in his footsteps. This is something to be encouraged about. Never ever begin to think that God hates you because things are hard. Never get bitter at him about it. We've been studying the book of Job. It's the same kind of message right there. Trusting God, knowing that these things did happen to the first family, the Holy Family, and in a bigger way than they usually happen to us, as they now had to go down to Egypt all that way and that lonely journey so that Jesus Christ would not be killed too soon by the king of their country. Very, very hard situation. Now, as I just said, some of these things might be happening right now to you. I don't know. Relationship problems, extreme hardship, loneliness. But God, who is rich in mercy, gives us where the victory is through the shepherds. Let's take a look at the shepherds. So let's turn over now to Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. Now, you know the story about the shepherds abiding with their flocks by night out there in the hills of Bethlehem. And the angel of the Lord was sent to them to give them such great news. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And as the multitude of angels appeared to them and these wonderful things were happening, actually to the lowest class citizens on the planet, the shepherds were an abomination to Pharaoh. That's why they were able to live in the land of Goshen, away from Cairo, away from the River Nile, because they were an abomination to the Pharaoh. They were considered the lowlife of the day, the shepherds. And as they would come into a town, everybody would close up their shops because they were known as thieves and robbers. And who did God decide to appear to tell the good news? To Caesar at Caesar's palace. No. To the shepherds abiding with their flocks on the hills at night. That lonely job done by the citizens that were least esteemed in the society. Jesus Christ bringing a message even in whom he brought the message to. So here we see the shepherd's response, which is the perfect response for us to learn from in how to truly enjoy Christmas no matter what is going on the outside. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them, verse 15, into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And so they went to see the Lord. And this is what we need to do. When you go see the Lord, when you go to seek him out, like you are this morning, and like you do when you read your Bible in the morning, or fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you go just get with him, everything looks different. And guess what? Loneliness begins to go away. Jesus said before he went to the cross, you disciples are all going to forsake me and flee away and leave me alone. But he didn't stop there. He said, but I'm not alone. The Father is with me. The Father is with me. And the Father is always with you. He's always with me. And as we turn our eyes upon Jesus, there's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Spirit of God and his comforting comfort. And many times he'll fill people in the body of Christ to be his arms and legs. As I get out of my lonely bed at home and put away the self-pity, bring myself to fellowship, there's actually something that happens every day here at church. Something's going on. And come to look in the eyes of another Christian that knows Jesus Christ, begin to see Jesus in them, and begin to love each other. God puts those in families that have no families. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I love those two scriptures. And I just begin to fellowship in Jesus and look for him and see him in my brothers and sisters. And something wonderful begins to happen. Well, they went to see Jesus, didn't they? They went to see him, and the lifting experience begins. Let's go on. It says, and they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, the manger, because God isn't an it, and Jesus isn't an it, he's a he, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Second key of victory is to not be quiet about what you know about Jesus Christ. That'll make your day every single time. If you decide to let the Holy Spirit use you as you're with Jesus and then you share him with someone else, that lifts them up and it lifts you up. And yeah, you'll be having a good Christmas right then because you're just sharing the Lord. You're allowing his Holy Spirit to fill you and use you. Had a funeral yesterday. There's a brother that was at the funeral that I haven't seen in a few years now. We see each other every few years. Years ago, he used to come to our church at Macklemore Street. And he came and he saw me and I saw him, and it was just a great reunion. I love those reunions, because it reminds me of heaven, what heaven's going to be like. We're going to see everybody that ever came to church here is going to be in heaven with us to see him again. Those that have passed away and gone on before us, and those that moved to wherever, you know, they move all over the place. And even those that left because they didn't like the church no more, they're going to like the church when they get to heaven, because we'll all be perfect, right? So there'll be all these reunions and blessings. Anyway, I saw this brother, and the brother put his arm around me and he said, is there anything I can pray for you for? And I was so blessed, and I just was able to share with him what he could pray for me about, and I knew what I could pray for him about. And it was just so neat. And there's a lifting there, isn't it? As Christ is shared, spreading abroad what you know about the Lord and what you can do in the Lord, that's going to lift your heart. That's going to lift your spirit, because it's all about Him. I go see Him. I minister in Him. It's all about Him. And then what happens next with the shepherds? Let's go on. Let's read verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And so they were full of praise, and they were full of thanksgiving, and they were full of wonder, and they were full of the glory of God, because they'd seen Jesus and they were sharing about Him. Their focus was Him. And we're here this morning to focus on Him. And so the music lifts our hearts. As we read the scripture verse by verse, the Holy Spirit comes and touches our hearts. And no matter what happened at Walmart the other day, when you asked for the electronics area and they said it's 2 miles that way on the left, and then you wanted a tie after that and they said, oh, that's back 30 miles the other way on the right, and those things that happen, and yes, walking 80 miles to have Jesus as Mary did, nothing is going to be that bad as far as how far you have to walk to get to the electronics department. And so there are these things, and there's identification with Jesus in the things that we go through. But as we focus on Him, as we come to Him, as we look to Him, as we share about Him and share in Him and share with Him, and also then begin to praise the Lord for the coming of Jesus Christ, to truly be thankful in our hearts for the coming of the gift of Jesus Christ to the earth, all that other stuff just goes away. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Amen. It's the truth. And sometimes praise is a sacrifice. In fact, we're told, offer up the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to His name continually. And so, even though it's getting tense, it's getting intense, Aunt Hilda's on a rage again. I've got to go eat ham and turkey with a bunch of non-believers that don't want me to pray anymore. All that stuff that might happen. We just keep a prayer. And I am praising and glorifying your holy name. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. Let's stand and pray. Praise the Lord. Father, we do honestly and truly do appreciate, Lord, the first family, the Holy Family, and especially your Son Jesus identifying with us, choosing to identify with us, to be tempted as we were, to go through the things we do because of this sinful planet and the things that happen to folks, Lord, and that press against us are just so hard sometimes, Lord, the battles that go on. And yet, Father, through it all, you came, you died, you're coming back, and you're going to lead us with your counsel before then, and then receive us to glory. And that is the bottom line. And Lord, we are thankful, and bless your holy name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you now. May God just help you to enjoy Christmas for the right reasons, and not allowing anything to take that away. Yep, nothing can take away that fact that Jesus Christ was born on Christmas Day. He's coming again for you. May the Lord help you through those other problems that all of us face. All things are common to man, even to the Holy Family. But Jesus came, and we rejoice. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.